This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Paranormal Classroom.
Well, welcome. Welcome to your car.
Oh, yeah. We're in my
different
car right
mobile
now.
Studio.
It
I'm
is.
I'm going to put my keys somewhere.
35 degrees outside.
It's freezing.
And we don't have the heater on because we don't want the noise in the
nope,
recording.
Exactly. Suppose I put my little wool coat on that my best buddy Brandy gave me.
Nice.
But yeah, it's, and somebody today at work was saying, I think it was Mary, was saying it's unseasonably warm according to the news. And I was like,
what?
Not at my house.
No.
Like in my house is fine, but outside is freaking cold. We got windows icing up and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, voila. So we just chatted for a long time before we hit record.
We did.
But is there anything outside of that, like just in the universe or paranormally speaking, that's been haunting you?
Yes. Lately? I have a short story about what's haunting me. So I went to Vegas to visit my family for Thanksgiving. They
yes.
live there. And I asked my family for their ghost stories.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah. And I tried to ask I tried to record my dad, but he's kind of shy. He wasn't super comfortable, he said that I could tell
Hi,
the
George.
Story.
Hi, George.
He said, and my brother didn't have any. So I feel bad for my brother. I'm like, you could have some of mine.
We could change that.
Yeah.
Take him out. I don't know.
Yeah. We're going to take you ghost hunting, Nate. So here's my dad's story. My dad used to work for the state auditor's office, and he got to travel to different counties and audit different government buildings. And one year, he was sent to Ilwaco, Washington, which is down by the ocean in the southwest tip of Washington. And Ilwaco had an old hospital that was abandoned because they had built a new hospital.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he needed to go and audit.
That's like
in the old hospital.
Let's see, recipe for hauntings. Old abandoned hospital.
Yeah,
it's got to be top of the list.
And my dad doesn't believe in ghosts, and he still doesn't believe in ghosts, which fascinates me after hearing this
Interesting.
Story.
Interesting. Okay.
This story is wild. But so he's in this abandoned hospital, and he had been warned that this place was supposedly haunted. And he went in by himself. He went into work early before anybody else, and he was alone. As far as he knows, he was alone. And because he wanted to get some work done and get ahead of the game. He's in this room auditing, whatever auditors do. He's looking at the
right, in an old abandoned yeah. hospital. Like, what is there to audit? Yep. Creepy AF.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He's looking at their financial documents and stuff.
Okay.
And he's like auditing.
Okay.
And I don't even know if it was for this old hospital or if that's just the location
but
the government
storing
gave him.
Stuff too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So he's in there and he hears behind the wall in the room next to him. A lot of commotion, a lot of noise. I mean, he was like, there was at least one person or people in there moving things, moving furniture, moving boxes, lots of noise. And he's like, this is so weird because I'm supposed to be alone in this building. He's like, clearly I'm not alone. So at some point he puts his like pencil and calculator down or whatever. He goes next door and opens the door to where all the noise is. There's nothing. There's nobody. It's a dark, empty room. He said it looked like a storage room because I asked him, I said, did it look like things had been thrown around or flung around or a mess had been made? And he's like, no, the room was messy anyway. You couldn't really tell because
oh,
it was
okay.
like one of those rooms where you just store a bunch yep. of chairs and tables and stuff. But he has no explanation for it.
Yeah, that's a... really common experience people have.
Yeah.
It's feeling like, oh, there's somebody over there.
Yeah. Or like hearing all that, I guess it could be like poltergeist stuff or.
Yeah. I bet. I mean, I wonder if there's spiritual energy there that is not happy that it's just full of junk.
Maybe.
This didn't used to be like this.
Or maybe it was something completely normal, like.
Like a raccoon.
Raccoon or pipes in the walls or something, but. I don't know. You're making a face at me.
But it's an older man in the hospital. I'm thinking pipes. They're not going to be running heat or water.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's a mystery.
That's cool. That would
freak me out. Absolutely.
I'd be like, and I think I'm going to work at my car. Yes. Yeah. I'll just take 14 loads of boxes of papers out to my car and I'll work there and it'll all be the same to the state. They'll never know. Yikes. That's a good story.
I know. I love it. How about you? What's haunting you?
Right now, these yawns. I keep yawning. I feel like every time I open my mouth, I yawn. Let's see. Nothing's really haunting me. I think I am starting to get... We have a word in my family called nervous-sighted.
Oh, it's like that
nervous
word.
Slash excited.
That's from a Disney movie, isn't it? Nervous sighted.
I don't know. Maybe. If it is, we like parallelly in parallel ways. Parallelly, we invented the term at the same time. Because I don't remember where we got it or that I feel like we made it up. It was like, I'm not nervous, I'm excited, but I'm also kind of nervous sighted. So my daughter, my eldest, is going to college soon.
Yeah.
This is her senior year of high school, and she picked her college and made it official this week.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So that is, I'm yawning again. I'm so sorry. That is very exciting, but also very nerve-wracking as a mama. So I'm thinking about that a lot. I'm also like a prepper. Not like a doomsday prepper, but like a prepper for major transitions. So I like to sort of... almost like role play them in my head, like how it's going to go down, kind of manifesting like, or setting intentions for like how this is going to go. Like this is going to be the next stage. And so like today I was checking receipts. Did we get her graduation stuff ordered?
Oh yeah.
Where are we at on this? Where are we at on that? Just so that trying to do things incrementally, bite-sized pieces, so that when it comes time to celebrate her graduation and launch her and pack up all of her stuff and launch her into the next phase, I can do so without any loose ends and just be present.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Very proactive. And
trying. I'm not famous for being proactive. I'm sort of famous for being procrastinatory.
Yeah.
For sure. That's part of just symptoms of ADHD. But in this case, like, I don't want to miss anything. I want to make sure that it's locked down tight.
Yeah. Well, it's big. That's a big change for her.
It's huge.
It's exciting.
So all you parents who've graduated kids and or are going to, I sympathize, I empathize, all the things. It's a big deal, but it's exciting. It's great. That's the whole point, right? The whole point is that we raise them to be future adults. From the time they're little, they're not kids, they're future adults. How do you want them to be successful?
Yeah.
And the whole point is that they are ready to leave the nest and go out and try the world on for size for themselves. And you did it. Like that's, yay. You get them to that point. Pass on the back for parents, I guess. So here we go with another spooky tale. But
while you're looking, I went to go see Wicked. It was incredible.
I'm so jealous.
It was incredible. You need to go as soon as you can.
Yeah, and I will.
I love, like, the reviews said it was mind-blowingly incredible. So I had read that and I went into it going, well, now I'm not going to be impressed, you know, because I don't know what it is. When I hear reviews, I'm like, no. Now it's not going to be that good. No, it was that good.
Okay, well, but it's only half the film.
It's only half, and it's almost 3 hours.
Yeah, that's kind of haunting me. It's like 2 hours and 50 minutes or something, and it's half of the story. It's like, you pull the Harry Potter on me.
I didn't feel, there was no point, though, where I was like, man, this is long, or checking my watch or anything. Yeah, I was just in it.
Okay.
I just went into the world, and I went into the, and the woman playing the Wicked Witch of the West with the green skin, what's her name?
Or Cynthia Erivo.
She was so beautiful. I could not take my, I mean, she was captivating to
yeah,
me.
She
I
is.
Could not take She's my eyes magnetic. Off of her. And like Ariana was incredible. I noticed her to the side
sure,
being incredible.
But she's Ariana. Like,
but I
we
couldn't
know.
Take my eyes off of the Cynthia. And there was like a million incredible characters in the background too. So I feel like I could watch it a bunch and like force myself not to
watch. I heard the guy who plays
Cynthia.
Fiero.
Oh, he's incredible. Awesome. He's unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna go see it by myself. I've never gone to see a movie by myself, and I'm kind of intrigued for the experience. Just go get my own popcorn.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to look like a creepo. That's always what
people
I'm afraid of.
People do it,
of.
Though.
I know people do.
If you see people sitting alone, you don't think they're a creepo. You're just like, you're probably like, oh, I wish I could do that.
I think it depends on who they are. But have you seen the, there was an experiment where they filled the movie theater with like hardcore, tough looking tattooed motorcycle dudes, like a motorcycle club. And then they sent people in, mm-hmm. like couples and individuals in. Like it's full, except for like a few scattered seats here and there. So in order to sit, you'd have to like, excuse me. And like,
I love it.
And they're
yeah.
all like snarling what? And like, ugh. And so there's
trying to
cameras,
see walk
hidden,
out
hidden
of
cameras. Yeah. And everybody would come in and just be like, and walk out like, or look at their tickets like, am I in the right place?
Nobody sat by the gruff guy?
Finally, yeah. One like super awkward, skinny, tall, like young 20 something comes in and he's just like, you could tell it registered on his face like, this is interesting. Why are they all here at the same time? This is okay. Well, okay. He's looking, he finds a seat and then he's just like points to the empty seat like, excuse me, could I get by? And he has to like crawl over awkwardly like you do in the row aisle of a crowded theater. And he gets in and he sits down and he just starts eating his popcorn and they all erupt in applause. Like, yeah, you did it, buddy. You were the brave one. And he's still like, what is happening? Did I just win the chocolate factory? What is happening? It was very cute. I like
it. It's cute.
Good social experiment about not being judgmental.
Yeah.
But also there's a part of it that's like, yeah, that's called my intuition. Something here was funny. And my body would be like, this is funny. This doesn't feel right. And you, not necessarily because it's people from a motorcycle club.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But because it's only men from a motorcycle club at the same time in a movie theater, I would be automatically looking for the cameras.
Yeah.
I always think I'm on candid
camera.
I think that's becoming a trend. Alrighty, so welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom. So today we're going to explore a real life story, a local story to us, actually, Tacoma.
Yes, I love
Very
local.
Very near us.
Cool.
It blurs the lines between science and trauma and the mysteries of the mind.
Ooh, nice setup.
Thanks.
I'm intrigued and ready.
Amanda, have you ever heard of Jason Paget?
No, my brother had a friend with that last name.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder if they're related, but I've never heard of Jason Paget.
It'd be wild if it was the same person.
I'm going to ask. I'll ask my brother. After you tell the story, I'll ask him to ask his friend if he's related.
Okay. Well, Jason's life took a dramatic turn after a traumatic event unlocked abilities he didn't know he had.
Oh, I love it. It's like mutant power.
Right? Just X-Men activate! Please let me be taken by the mutants.
I just watched Deadpool versus Wolverine on the airplane. I watched it on the airplane coming back from Vegas. And
it's
I
brilliant.
Was giggling the whole time. And everyone's like looking at me. And I'm holding my phone over, or my hand over my iPad, to hide all the really, really violent scenes from the kids on the plane.
Because you know there's some kid like two rows back looking through the cracks in the seats. Just having their world rocked. That's so funny. I was sitting next to someone on the plane on my trip back from Arizona a couple weeks ago. And I was dying to know what he was watching.
Yeah.
Because there were no kids around. It was me on the aisle seat, this big guy in the middle, and another big guy at the window seat. Yeah. But he was watching something on his iPad, and he kept, like, turning it.
Away from you?
Like, just toward his body. And I was like...
It was a Hallmark movie, wasn't it? Like...
I'm like, what is he? That's not where my brain went. But I was like, I'm dying to know what he's watching that he thinks I shouldn't see.
Yeah.
I should have just asked him, hey, what are you hiding over there?
You never found out?
No. I just thought... I always think it afterward, like, what would have been the harm in me teasing him?
None.
But I don't think of it in the moment. I think of it afterward. In the moment, I'm just like, that's odd. But it doesn't occur to me, like, oh, we'll solve that problem.
I love it. So I get really sick on airplanes, really sick. I have panic attacks and I throw up sometimes. So at the end of the flight, the flight was fine, by the way. I did fine. And we landed and I turned to the guy next to me and I'm like, you just had a really good flight.
Did he interpret it as like because you were sitting next to him?
He's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, usually I throw up. So you better be thankful that didn't happen.
Oh my gosh.
He laughed.
I don't think I've ever been on a plane and saw someone puking.
Oh, well, you haven't flown with me.
And maybe I never will. But we have plans. We gotta go places.
Yeah. The panic attacks are the worst, though. But
yeah, that I can handle with you. I would help you with that. I'd give you a Sour Patch Kid. And...
Perfect. That sounds great.
Did you know that that's a strategy for panic attacks?
I knew you could, like, hold a frozen orange, but...
Yep. You could, or put an ice pack on the back of your neck. It's anything that shocks your system, the frontal lobe, into responding to something else. So that extreme sour, put that on your tongue, and it just kind of jolts your brain.
I didn't know that. I'm going to bring those with me now.
Yeah, you should have a little, like, Altoid tin of Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. Oh, I need them for the dentist, too. So, like, I mean, the dentist would be like, excuse me, hold on.
I know you're cleaning my teeth, but I'm going to put the world's stickiest substance on them repeatedly so that I can stay calm. Hold on while I chew this Sour Patch Kid. Oh, my God. How would they respond? Because you're going to be laying there doing the sour face, too, like I do. Like, really, like if you're sucking on a lemon. They have to get in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. So Jason Padgett was your average dude. He worked at a futon store. He loved to party. He wasn't particularly interested in academics or math. But all that changed in 2002 when he was attacked outside a karaoke bar.
Oh, no. Attacked by what? A human?
Well, it wasn't a mountain lion.
I don't know. We have a paranormal podcast. He could have been attacked by anything. Oh,
I'm sorry. You're right. It wasn't demons. It also wasn't a mountain lion. It was humans. Okay. He was attacked. He was jumped.
Poor guy.
So, Amanda, as someone who's worked with kids, you've probably seen... Well, I know you've seen. You've seen how trauma can sometimes lead to unexpected changes in a student's behavior.
100%.
Trauma affects people differently, of course. But with this guy, it definitely... He responded differently. You could say that. It unlocked... Hidden strengths.
Superpowers.
Yeah.
This is a TV show. I love it.
Sometimes it unlocks coping mechanisms. That's probably the most common thing that trauma unlocks. Ways that people cope. Positive ways or negative ways. They're just trying to cope.
Yes.
They're trying to manage the stress of it.
Yeah.
For him, it was a little different. So during the attack, Jason suffered a severe concussion.
Oh.
Afterworld. He didn't go to the afterworld. He might have felt like it. Afterward, he started seeing the world in a completely new way.
What?
He described seeing intricate geometric patterns and grids overlaying everything around him. Amanda, can you imagine trying to teach a student who suddenly starts experiencing the world like this? Where they're like, everything is in like fractals and... what do you call those? Like mandalas.
Oh my gosh.
Mandalas.
Lindsay. I've heard a story like this with another person who has a documentary that used to be on Netflix and he's been on Oprah, and I'm going to forget his, I can't pull his name out of my brain palace at this moment, but
well, is it,
his name's Jonah something.
I bet I have it on a list.
Oh my gosh. So he had some experience, but he doesn't have like a concussion or something that triggered it. He just one day all of a sudden could see geometric shapes and spirits. And
you sure it's not this guy?
No, it's not this guy. It's a different guy. And he was a filmmaker, and when it happened to him, he started documenting himself and his journey and like learning about it and going and getting MRIs and trying to find answers. It's incredible. It's called, I wish my brain worked. It's like something like Woke Up or something.
Oh,
the documentary.
Because I did a search on like other cases, similar cases.
Yeah.
And there isn't a name that's coming up like that now, but I bet it will.
What am I doing? I'm sitting here with my phone with access to the world and Google. Let me grab his name really quick. Okay. Okay. His name is Jonas Elrod, and his documentary from 2010 was called Wake Up. And it's absolutely incredible. You go on this whole emotional journey with him as he tries to figure out what is happening to his body. In his brain. Yeah. And they explore everything. They explore schizophrenia and everything.
Interesting.
I wonder what it would be like to see geometric shapes, though. Like, I'm really curious because I've heard people use that phrase before, that they can see that. Mm-hmm. And I'm picturing, like...
just being able to see the geometric connections between things. Because everything is geometrical. Nature, construct... like, I'm looking right now, like, buildings, like, you'd be able to see where all the joists were and like how it connected together and made sense in that prism way.
Right. And there's so many repeating patterns in nature, mm-hmm. like spirals and.
Yep. The Fibonacci
sequence. Fibonacci sequence.
I love the Fibonacci sequence.
It's all over the place.
It's fascinating. I love teaching it. So when you have somebody who, okay, so let's just imagine it's a kid, right? And some kid that experiences something, one of our students, and suddenly they go from being who you know them to be to experiencing the world like this, how would you help them process
and adapt to it? Oh my gosh, poor kiddo. I wonder if they'd even, depending on their age, if they'd even have language to describe it. And what if kids actually have abilities like this and they just don't have the language and...
sort of like being able to see the other side?
Yeah, because we know the stories of little kids who can see things, know things, but they...
the ones that freak me out the most, and I mean that in the most endearing way, are the ones who have past lives, who talk about past lives.
Yeah, fascinating.
Like little bugs that are like, and I was on that ship when it landed at such and such beach, and we fought against the so-and-sos, and it's like, you're three.
Or like, I miss my wife.
Right? There's one little guy who talks about, take me back to my other family. Yes. I miss my other family. Yeah. And his mom's like, but I'm your only family. It's like, no, you're not, and I want to dance.
We should do something on past lives someday.
Oh, it's fascinating. Sure. We definitely have to interview my mom on that one.
Yeah. Your questions are really good, though. What would I do for a student who's, like, experiencing seeing geometric shapes?
Or just that they, all of a sudden, they have a traumatic event. They come back. They're not the student you knew them to be. Suddenly, they see, they have a superpower. They can see the world in, like a genius all of a sudden. But that's not their normal.
I honestly think my first thought would be like we need to get this checked out. Like calling the mom and being like, have you taken your child to the doctor?
Yeah.
I think that'd be step one.
I would be excited to have the kid. Yeah, you're right. That's the smartest answer, is get other experts involved and get some data on it. But I would be like, all right, how would you like to show me the way you see the world? Like, I would love to know more.
Because you teach art, too. Yeah.
Do you want to take pictures? Do you want to do some coding? Do you want to do you want to build some sort of structure? Or here's all the stuff. You know where everything is. I want you to, like, just show me what's going on in your brain as best you can. I know it's not going to be exact, but I just am dying to just get a window into what's going on.
That would be incredible.
And it might help them, like, exercise it and understand it more, make stronger use of it.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. That would just be my gut instinct, I think. So, well, it was pretty isolating for him. He thought he was losing his mind.
Sure.
So he withdrew socially, but he soon realized that these changes had a name. And maybe these names sound familiar. Synesthesia.
Yeah.
And acquired savant syndrome.
Oh, acquired savant syndrome.
If
that sounds amazing.
If I could acquire any syndrome, it would be the savant syndrome. Like, do I need to stand outside a karaoke bar? I would love to just be hyper intelligent in some way. But So that's Jason's deal. So he began drawing the patterns he saw, similar to what I would recommend or suggest, which turned out to be visual representations of super complex math, like fractals and pi.
Do you have pictures of them? Like, are there pictures recorded of
Yeah, probably, but I don't have...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Google them later. Yeah. I'd be really interested to see those.
Yeah, so despite never studying math, especially. So he had a sudden understanding of these massive mathematical concepts. Wow,
what part of his brain got hit in that when he was jumped?
There's just so many questions I have about it. So before I tangent into all that, have you ever stumbled upon a subject you didn't think you'd understand but ended up deeply connecting with? You can process that.
I need processing time. A subject
that I never that come across, didn't think you'd understand. But ended up deeply connecting with?
Well, I guess, my career, I'm a reading intervention specialist. You're not, in fifth grade, this is what I want to be when I grow up. I didn't even know it was a thing, right?
Right, yeah, same.
But now that I've kind of gone down this path naturally, it's so my jam. It's just so, I'm in love with it.
Like the science and learning of reading,
about it. Yeah, the science.
How people learn to read.
And yes.
How to teach them how to learn to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God for you, because I don't have it in me. I do not know how to teach someone how to read.
It's actually way more complicated than you would think, especially if the student has dyslexia, which if you want me to get on my little educational
pudding, so many do.
One in five people are on the dyslexia spectrum. It's a spectrum disorder. And they need very systematic, explicit instruction in phonemic awareness and phonics. And without that, they're going to struggle. But with it, they will pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's not a marker of intelligence or lack
not
of.
Not at all. In
it's
fact,
just the way their brain works.
Yeah. A lot of people with dyslexia have average or even above average intelligence. And
not surprising.
They're very smart because they have to learn other ways to function without reading coming automatically to them. So my whole job, I guess, is trying to teach other teachers how to do that systematic and explicit instruction so that their whole class can succeed, not just the kids without dyslexia.
Right. Right. They're going to be fine.
They'll be fine.
Yep. They'll be fine. So they're going to pick it up. I was like, how did he share? I'm not sure what the right verb is, but I was like, how did he share his new talents? And he did. He returned to school. He went back to school to study math.
How old was he?
He was in his 20s.
Okay.
He went back to school. I could tell you exactly in a minute, but I've totally forgotten. To study math and physics.
Oh, that's so cool. That
it's amazing,
his brain was
but
just
I'm like, what?
I get physics now.
Yeah, and eventually he wrote a book called Struck by Genius.
What?
Yep, where he shares his journey in advocating for brain research. So this is what Jason's story, I think, it means, what it means for me, what it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder, because I love this idea, do we all have hidden abilities like this?
Yeah.
Waiting to be
unlocked? Yes, that's a great question.
And just, or the right circumstances for them to emerge. As a teacher and as a mom, how do you balance? There's another teacher question for you. How do you balance encouraging students and your own kids, because we both have kids, as mm-hmm. we all know, to explore their potential without pressuring them?
Oh, that's so hard.
I wrestle with it daily.
Yeah.
Daily. Multiple times a day.
Your kids don't want to be nagged at all.
Nope.
But it's about finding the right questions, I think. It's almost you have to read up on being a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what questions do you ask to get someone else to reflect on their choices, behaviors, practices? That's parenting a teenager. Mm-hmm. I feel like not a young kid, but like the tweens, teens, and I have not mastered it. And I reflect on it all the time.
There's a great book called Visible Thinking Routines that I think every teacher should read. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It was introduced to me when I was in Washington, D.C. at a 2-week long teacher training last summer.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And there's a subsequent text to it as well, but I think it's more just like a newer edition of the same strategies, but that one's awesome. I think a key too is like relating it to what kids are really good at. So, and asking them, how did you get good at that?
Oh, that's
and it's
sneaky,
like, we always want to do things that are fun, and we all have always different ideas about what's yeah. fun, but we're not born knowing how to do any of it. No. So I love to give them the example of like a side scroller Super Mario game, right? We've all played Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. You it has all 8 times whatever many levels, right?
Yeah.
You don't know how, you're not born knowing how to get from the very first level all the way through to the finishing the game.
Right.
In fact, you don't know how, you have to try, like you go along for 10 seconds and you die. Some sort of turtle thing gets you or whatever. Turtle mushroom guy thing. It's been a while since I played it, can you tell? A Goomba, that's what they're called.
Goomba.
Some sort, you run into a Goomba or one of those duck turtle things.
Yeah.
And, or you fall off of something, dead. Okay, your brain goes, aha, that was there. I'm going to remember that next time. Go back to the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And every time the goal is just to get a little bit farther yeah. and take what you learned from your mistakes and go a little bit
that's
farther.
That's life. I get
that
it.
That is life. That's yeah. learning. Why do we persevere and we'll play ad nauseum days on end without food, without water, without rest, without a bathroom break? Why will kids do that? Because it's fun.
Yeah.
But they can. They yeah. can persevere and learn and get better and stronger each yeah. time. It's just that not everything is as fun. Learning your math facts, not as fun for everybody. Right. Learning how to read a novel
right.
and completing it, not as fun. But you can.
Yes,
you can do
of
it.
Course.
When you want to put your mind to it, you do it.
Yeah.
It's just not as fun.
Right.
But don't say you can't. Growth mindset.
Right. And it does involve mistakes. It does involve like hitting the Goomba and falling off and then,
noting
you just try
it.
Again.
You just have to note it. Learn
yeah.
from the mistake.
Yeah.
That's how our brain grows.
Yeah.
Learning from mistakes. And like when people invent things, they'll say stuff like, well, it took me 1,000 tries to get this figured out. And they weren't failures. The first 1,000 times weren't failures.
Right.
It was just learning what doesn't work.
But Jason didn't have that experience because Jason just...
He just didn't really like math, period.
Boom. It just like...
Yeah, he didn't have
it woke something up in his brain.
There were no Goombas. Like, unless you think of the people that beat him up as the Goombas. But his brain just... overnight.
I really want to know what... Like, maybe you'll get to this.
Yeah.
But what part of the brain specifically was injured that would be related to this phenomenon, right? Because the different lobes, we know a lot about the brain. We have a lot more to learn, but we know a lot about what part of your brain controls your impulse control and what part processes sound and what part, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So which one is the one that causes that automatic savant syndrome?
Well, then, and if, just for the sake of purposes of the timeline of us telling the story tonight, if we knew... Are there ethical implications for messing around with that part of the brain to
yeah.
try to unlock
yeah.
such abilities? Is it something supernatural that there isn't anything we could do? And there's a gajillion medical cases where the people on the medical staff, someone will be miraculously healed, and the medical staff won't have any idea why they were healed.
Right.
They're just like, eh. I'm not really comfortable saying it was a miracle, but there's no medical
explanation
for this.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something like that. Like, I would start worrying, like, oh gosh, are we going to start fiddling around? And like they did with lobotomies, right? To try to cure mental illness.
Oh, I just watched
like,
a documentary.
Let's just remove some of the brain
yeah,
through their nose.
Documentary on that. And that guy was, I think he was psycho. The doctor who invented it.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, so horrible.
Yeah, he was a sadist for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So
this guy,
there they are.
His, okay. what he, superpowers he got was seeing geometric shapes everywhere and having this incredible understanding of physics and math.
Okay.
Right? Am I?
Oh, this guy. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about your guy.
Well, my guy, Jonas, he had the geometric shapes, but he also, I don't think that he had like savant syndrome, but he was seeing spirits.
I want to watch it right
now. Oh, it's so good.
We need to also watch The Unbinding.
I've watched it myself, but I've watched it again with you.
I want to see it so bad. So I just listened to the podcast where they did like a re-airing of the podcast where they first talked, like telling the story of the Unbinding. And yeah, I need to see that. That's the Newkirks, everybody, if you're into...
Yes, Dana and Greg Newkirk.
Supernatural stuff.
They're doing so many cool things.
They are. They're really busting some stuff wide open on how, and for themselves too. They're open about that. Like, whoa, every single thing about this case just rocked our understanding, which is really cool. So there's a lot of other cases about this. And when I first heard this one, I was I kind of joked, like, do I need to go stand around a karaoke bar? Like, I at first was like, I would love that. I would love to just wake up after a traumatic event and be...
I think I would too.
Super, super smart. But also it'd be terrifying. Because it's not like you just wake up and suddenly do all this math. Like, it's a paradigm shift. Like, how does this happen? Why me? What am I supposed to do with this? Is this a gift that I'm supposed to now do something with?
You're going to love Jonas's documentary because it's all of that. But I think you're right. My first instinct, just like I said with the student, would be to go to the doctor and be like, okay, what is wrong? Like, what has happened to me?
Let's do some imaging.
Yeah.
What actually was affected in the brain?
Yep. That'd be my first go-to. Before I was like, oh, I've got a gift. How do I use this gift?
So there are several fascinating cases of individuals who developed extraordinary abilities following a trauma or other life-changing events, similar to Jason Paget or Jonas. What's his last name?
Jonas Elrod.
Elrod. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple of others that I just think are interesting with acquired savant syndrome. Derek Amato. When he was 39, Derek Amato suffered a severe concussion after diving into a shallow swimming pool. Following his injury, he developed the ability... This is so wild. He developed the ability to play the piano with no prior training.
What?
Can you imagine?
That's piano savant syndrome.
I have dreams like that. I also have dreams that I can run forever. I cannot run. And my dad was a track and cross country coach. Bless his heart. I cannot do it. But I have dreams where I just can run forever and never get tired. So being able to play the piano like that would be amazing. So he describes seeing black and white squares in his mind, which guide his composition. Not only can he play the piano, he composes.
Here's the thing, though. Music is extremely mathematical.
Yes.
So maybe in a way, it's kind of similar to what happened to Jason, where it's awakened some mathematical genius.
So somehow, if we just put into slumber, biologically on the evolutionary scale of time or whatever, have we just somehow lay dormant rich mathematical skills for some reason?
I don't know.
Maybe with the dawn of like technology that allows us to calculate things artificially, we don't have to solve as many mathematical problems.
You just like made me think, I don't know if I believe this, but what if these were abilities that they had, because you mentioned past lives, what if these were abilities in a past life that just got woken up by whatever the trauma is? Not something new, but something remembered.
Or from a different timeline.
Or a different... Oh, now we're in the multiverse.
Yep.
With Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah.
Here's a sidebar.
Yeah.
What would your... Let's say you run into future Amanda.
Okay.
What would future Amanda need to say to you for you to believe that it's really future Amanda?
Oh my gosh. Did you just think of this question?
No. It's something I've been tooling around. Like, do you have a code word for your future self?
I don't have like a code word for myself, but I think if I remember like where I am right now at this point in time, I could mention, you know, something like, you know, all the things that are hard for me right now.
Yeah.
I could maybe like sympathize with myself and validate myself and just be my own best friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Future Amanda's just as rad as current Amanda. Yeah, I think I would need like...
What would you...
I think I would need a code word. It would have to be something absolutely ridiculous, which obviously I can't say on the podcast, but it would be something that only I would know was my code word.
We need to make a code word anyway, though, for like if we pass away and we come and like to let them know we're thinking of each other.
Our closest peeps know... Wait, but you don't know. I need to tell you the password because I think you're like the number one contact for my kids now.
Problem is I'm going to forget it. I'm going to have to write it down.
So I recently learned, thanks to one of my coworkers, you can password lock notes on your, like, your phone.
Oh,
like,
cool.
If you have a notes app.
Yeah.
You can password lock things.
Okay.
You can leave others wide open. But, like, if you have a list of passwords or a list of code names.
Yeah.
Things like secret government data, you can leave it under a password. You just have to remember one password, then, to get into that. Like a, the, you know, four.
Yeah. Code or okay, that's cool.
Okay, so there's another guy. Tony. Oh, Tony. I hope I don't butcher this. Tony Sicoria. C-I-C-O-R-I-A.
Okay.
Tony was an orthopedic surgeon struck by lightning, Lindsay, fear number 42, in 1994. After the incident, he developed an intense passion for classical music. There we go with music and math. And began composing and playing the piano despite no prior interest or training.
Music and math. We're seeing a pattern there.
So electrical trauma, creativity, physical trauma, like, yeah, definitely. Alonzo Clemens suffered a severe brain injury as a child. Despite his intellectual disabilities, Clemens became a prodigious sculptor, able to create detailed animal figures after just a brief glimpse of a photograph.
Holy moly.
As a kid.
That, I guess that would tie into, like, your shapes, your geometric shapes and your patterns.
Yeah. But he also had these severe cognitive impairments, but they coexisted with extraordinary creative gifts, which is awesome.
It's really cool.
Franco Magnani. He was an Italian. Why do I do that to Italian names? It's gotta be just insensitive. And I apologize to all Italians everywhere.
These guys need to start a band.
Franco Magnani. Yeah, all these guys. We got the Magnani, Sicoria, Matos. Maybe you have to be Italian and suffer a brain injury to be a musical mathematical genius.
We're gonna solve it. We're gonna figure it out.
It's all in the Italian genes. It's in the food, in the water. Italian painter Franco Magnani developed hyper-realistic memory paintings of his hometown, Pontito, after recovering from a feverish illness in his 30s.
Oh my gosh.
So he could paint, like super realistic from memory paintings of his hometown. I couldn't do that if I'm looking at it.
I couldn't either.
I'm sitting right here. I could not paint that fence realistically.
I'm really good at telestrations and, like, the doodle drawings within 1 minute.
Yeah, you are.
I'm pretty good at those, but no, I couldn't do
it. I overthink it, and it's always bad. So his phenomenon is sometimes called hyperthymesia.
Is that related to art?
It's just a profound, a profound connection between memory and creativity.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is so fascinating. I love this topic.
Here's another one. This one's with, let's see, we got more mathematicals, patterns, math, language, and memory. Oh my gosh, this guy, Daniel Tammet. First of all men. I think that's
okay. That's important to,
yep.
If you know of a woman who has had,
I'm sure there are some.
I'm talking to our audience. If you know of a woman who's had one of these crazy experiences.
Well, there's also, this could go the other way. We all learned in our intro to psych classes about Phineas Gage.
Yeah.
Remember the guy with the railroad spike that went through his head?
He survived.
He survived, but then he was very angry and violent for the rest of his life. So he developed that, and I had clients like this who had been in major motorcycle accidents and had traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, and they were violent, angry, and it was destroying their relationships.
Traumatic brain injuries can do all kinds of things to change you.
In many of these stories, areas of the brain that remain undamaged may compensate for injured regions, potentially unmasking latent abilities. Okay, fine. But let's stretch that out. When I get an injury anywhere, like my knees, I have major arthritis.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
There's no other part of me that's like, let's compensate for that. I don't develop, like,
incredible
super
ankles.
Strength.
My ankles are so good.
My ankles are like trunks of trees. No, there isn't, like, I could lift 1,000 pounds. Like, it doesn't.
Well, it's not, like, to the superhuman degree, but I think different. Your body does. When your knees go, you have these little, like, I'm not a scientist, but you have these little, like, micro muscles in the, along your thighs and stuff that.
And people with, like, lack, who, you know, have vision disabilities or hearing disabilities, they often will have heightened senses in another way.
I think your body does kind of compensate a little bit, but I don't think it's to this savant degree.
Yeah, no.
That we're talking about in this episode.
Ghost. What is that walking across the road?
Stop scaring me.
Do you see that? Way down there? You see movement crossing the road?
I do, but It's very foggy here, by the way, if you're listening to us. Like,
oh, they have a flashlight.
We have had a crazy fog.
I don't know a lot of ghosts that carry flashlights. They just popped out of nowhere. Okay. Another one. Neuroplasticity, which is one of my favorite words. That's the brain's remarkable adaptability, and it suggests that these abilities may lie dormant in many individuals. That's my favorite theory.
Yeah, that they're here in all of us, or at least in men, because all we're hearing about is men.
Yeah, we just have to figure out how to unlock them.
And you just have to figure out how to, like, damage something with lightning or a punch.
It could be anything. So various things, from strokes to concussions, even illnesses, various triggers that catalyze these transformations. So, yeah.
Wow. It's so interesting. And you have so many that you listed that you found. And, you know, we don't, like, do deep dive research.
Right.
There's probably tons. I think that's enough evidence for me to know that this is something.
There's something. There's
something here.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I was going to try to pull up for you. The article that I pulled this from was from the New York Times, I believe, which is interesting because it's a local story, but it's called The Violent Attack That Turned a Man into a Maths Genius. Oh, no, maths. It was the BBC.
They say maths. In England. That's so weird to me.
That's right. It was the BBC.
We just say math. They also say uni.
Yeah,
for university. When we say college, they say uni.
Yeah, I love it. Let me see if there's any... thing else that I wanted to tell you about this. Da, 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 da. I think that's pretty much it.
Oh, I want to know more, though.
I know.
We could actually sit down and do some real research if we ever get time and find out, like, who's studying
he's
this
our
and what
age
they're
now.
Learning. And...
But yeah, he's working in the... He's using his new gifts in math, too. Professionally.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Very cool stuff. And he's doing, like... He's... of course, he wrote a book to inspire, like, more neuroscience because of this story.
For people to study what happened to him, right?
Yeah. Like, tell us the name of that movie again about...
Wake Up.
Okay, Wake Up.
It's a documentary.
I'm going to watch that.
We mentioned a few good things. I also recommend watching Hellier and The Unbinding by Planet Weird, which is Greg and Dana Newkirk.
I think, what's it called? The Unbinding is now on Tubi. If you have Tubi, it's free on Tubi.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I paid for it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. I would too, because it is worth it. I know it's going to be worth it. So if there's any cases, these or anything else that you want us to dive deeper into or to explore, especially if they have themes connecting to education or just general human interest or human potential, we would love to talk about it on our podcast. So please definitely hit us up on our socials or email us at theparanormalclassroom.com. Or sorry, paranormalclassroom@gmail.com. And then Amanda is spearheading our socials on Instagram and Facebook.
Instagram and Facebook.
We took a bit of a hiatus over Thanksgiving, but we are back and we'll be getting back into connecting with people.
Yay.
And so spread the word. We'd love it if you would share this podcast with like two people. Just two people that are not going to judge you if they hate us. They won't blame you for their misery if they don't like us. But if you think they would.
Because one of my favorite things, Linz, is how when we started this podcast, I finally have somebody to talk to about this stuff. Like, you know, you can hear when we talk that I've been doing a lot of this research on
by
my
yourself.
Own. Watching documentaries by
telling
myself.
The walls.
I get so excited because I finally have somebody to talk to about it. And I just would love it if somebody's listening and they want to like, I want to tell you a story.
Yeah.
I would just... love it. It's like the most fun part of this.
Yeah. We've got to get Jenny on. That's got to be our
Jenny.
Next guest. Yeah. We need to make that happen. So yeah, let us know. And maybe you would make an interesting special guest.
Yeah.
We have some new tech we've got to learn that would allow us to Zoom call in or telephone in. And it would sound like we're in the same room with one another. So that would be really cool to experiment
with. That's cool
with
that technology.
With.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and thanks for chatting with me, Amanda Nader.
Okay, have a great night.
You too. Get good rest.
Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.